Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend, and I really hope you guys enjoyed the Hagman Show on Friday. All three of us were on there. It was a very good show, lots of stuff going on, and you guys will definitely be enjoying the new cookbooks that we have in stock and getting ready to ship out to everybody this week. We released them on Friday, so that's pretty exciting. A bunch of news going on today. Dan and I were just talking about that a second ago. I saw an article over the weekend now that it looks like Saudi Arabia is now prepping F-15 fighter jets to start scrambling them for a potential attack of Hezbollah in Lebanon. As we talked last week, Saudi Arabia ordered its citizens to leave Lebanon last week. Weird stuff going over there. I don't know if the whole situation is, you know, obfuscation to try to prevent people to see what's really going on over here, or if this is really something they're trying to ignite over there, Dad. What do you think about all this stuff? Because I know we talked about it on Friday, and we're going to go into detail more in it today about Saudi in the Middle East right now.
Okay, I told you I'd use more information on Saudi. I didn't have time the other day on the show. Remember, I linked it back to the Balfour Declaration and how Saudi really wasn't Saudi Arabia, you know, in the early 1900s. It was a group of independent Arab, how should I say this, tribes living in that area of the country being controlled by several large tribal factions. And what ended up happening after the Balfour Declaration, which is when Balfour was basically written by Rothschild and asked to form the country of Israel by taking over Palestine, they had to find a faction that would be positive with that. And as far as the Arab factions, and the one that was basically in control told them to pound salt. You guys can do your own research on this, so we're not going to do it. Finally, they found the House of Saud that was pretty corrupt even then, and they said, yes, we will go ahead and we will support the basically displacement and the murder of these Palestinians for the country of Israel, but, you know, we pretty much want control of this entire peninsula, and that's what they did. And again, that's how Saudi Arabia, the House of Saud, was started. I remember the Israel's basically a fiefdom of the Rothschild Empire through the Balfour Declaration, and also the Israel through the Rothschild banking cartel has controlled England since the Napoleonic Wars. So this is something that's been going on for a long, long time, centuries of abuse, and that's why the Saudis and Israel have been fast allies since the inception of Saudi Arabia, because they know that Israel, again, is being run by the Rothschild banking cartel, and which is also basically allowing them to exist as a country. Now, as far as the purging of all these Saudi princes, a lot of stuff is going on right now with Saudi willing to accept rubles and yuan for oil and gold for oil, and a lot of things are going on as far as central banks and the petrodollar and the United States currency being the reserve currency. A lot of things are also going on in Saudi Arabia being tied back to the Clintons with child trafficking, weapons trafficking, and drug trafficking. All of this stuff is all being obfuscated by the press, and we're in the middle of a situation. Now, it's so funny, we got an email in the other day, and they said that basically we shouldn't be saying that Israel is involved with the formation of Saudi Arabia or that the Rothschilds shouldn't be involved with any of that. And they basically said we were bashing Israel. And now, you know, I don't even know what to say about that, because number one, I bash Germany, I bash Russia, we bash North Korea, we bash the United States, we even bash Donald Trump, we definitely bashed Obama. We pretty much are equal opportunity bashers on this show, and I don't know how to even respond to that. But when you have to go back into just general history of what happened with the Balfour Declaration, what's happened with the Mossad, what's happened with Israel, what's happened with the Kennedy assassinations being tied back into Israel for nuclear weapons, what's happened with all of this stuff, and the Mossad being involved in 9/11, all of this stuff, you know, I also bash Germany as much as I bash England or Israel, but it's just ridiculous to me that, you know, for some reason that little strip of land there that was formed by the Balfour Declaration through the displacement of Palestinians is sacrosanct, and you can't discuss it at all. And the reason for that's happening, guys, and I'm going to say it again, is you have to do some research into the Scofield Bible. You have to look at the Scofield Bible, and you've got to look at Zionism and where it came from and how it's been promoted now for over 150 years into the Christian churches in the United States. This was a marked thing they did to stop the anti-Semitism that was going on with the Jews throughout Europe, and for this formation of Israel, which has been their pipe dream, which is something they've wanted to do for hundreds of years. So they had to get rid of the anti-Semitism. A lot of, you know, people say that that's why they continually use the horrible things that happened to the Jews in the Nazi Holocaust as a benchmark to try to force more and more compliance with saying anything about Israel being anti-Semitic. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall for that. You know, excuse me, if Angela Merkel wants to drag Germany into a ditch, I'm calling her out. I'm calling the Germans out for doing that. If France wants to put another socialist president, I'm calling him out, another Rothschild proxy. If Greece wants to be controlled by the IMF, I'm going to call them out. If the International Monetary Fund wants to run everything out of Basel, Switzerland, through the doggone junk that they do over there with you know, with all the stuff they do in Switzerland, I'm calling them out. I'm calling everybody out. I mean, that's what this show is. This show is the equal opportunity caller outer. I'm not going to do it, Austin. I'm not going to back off when you have a key player like the Mossad that's involved in all of this stuff, the Zionists involved in all of this stuff, all of this horrible stuff that we've got going on, including child trafficking and everything else. You've got to say who they are and what they're doing. The same thing with Russia, China, North Korea, Germany, United States, Canada. Anybody who wants to get involved as far as in a world scene and start doing things, we've got to say yay or nay on this and give the people that are listening to our show and expecting us to give fair and biased reporting to our show what's going on without being hamstrung by saying, oh my gosh, you can't mention that country's name, and well, you can't mention that country's name. And you guys have heard me slam Germany over and over and over again. My mom is from Germany, and they've gotten slammed over and over and over again. You've heard them. You've heard me slam Hitler. You've heard me slam Germany. You've heard me slam what they've done to the Germans and how they've turned into a bunch of weak-willed wussies. You heard me say all of this. So, guys, it's one of those things that you can't try to differentiate the truth without telling the truth and calling out the players on the field. I mean, if you don't want to pretend like, if you're playing a chess game and you don't want to talk about being pawns in the game, okay, it's kind of like hard to figure out how the chess player is getting played. So, guys, just bear with us and let us realize this is the same thing with Judge Roy Moore now. I have intentionally not spoken about this with Judge Roy Moore. I'm telling you this right now. This whole thing is to keep him out of the U.S. Senate. Judge Roy Moore's political hit job. Moore has been tried and convicted in the court of public opinion because apparently he tried to go out with, or some girl is saying that when she was 14 years old, he asked her out 40 years ago. Here's the thing, guys. You got to look at the past 40 years. I mean, he's the one who refused to take the Ten Commandments out of that courtroom. He refused to do it. They basically threw him off the bench because of that. He's the one who just beat the Trump candidate, the Rothschild candidate, with just a fraction of the money. He's the one who basically is spearheading conservative rights. They don't want him in the Senate. They certainly don't want him on the Supreme Court. That's what they don't want this. They don't want this guy anywhere near Washington, D.C., because he calls out too many people. I personally have dated, when I was in college, in high school, and I'm not saying this in any kind of weird way, several hundred girls. I can't even remember the names of the girls that I went out with. I can't even remember what we did on the dates. I can't even remember their faces. I can't remember any of that stuff. All I know is this. Judge Roy Moore may have asked someone out a long, long time ago, 40 years ago. He probably doesn't even remember it. If indeed he did ask out a 14-year-old, if that's even true, which I don't think it is, she may have been dressed like she was 17 or 18 years old. You have absolutely no idea. I have seen 14-year-olds wear so much makeup, they look like they're 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I have seen that personally when I was in junior high school and high school. I've seen it. And Austin, you have too. So, I mean, guys, you know, yeah. This is some witch hunt they've done with him because they're so angry that he got that Senate confirmation, you know, back in that election that happened a few months ago, that they're doing everything they can to keep him out of Washington, D.C. So that's why I have not reported it, because I don't believe a bit of it. Really, they got to drag something out from 38 years ago. How about the pedophile Clintons? Hillary being a lesbian with all these videos of her and girls. How about Bill Clinton be a known serial pedophile, rapist, whatever? And that's all within recent history. How about Barack Obama being the gay Kenyan and his doggone transvestite wife with the whatever she has in her pants? I mean, this is ridiculous, and they want to pick on this guy. No, the mainstream media hates him. The Rothschild banking cartel hates him because of the values, because of the core beliefs that he stands for, and they're going to do everything to keep him out of the Senate and to keep him from getting reelected, Austin. That's how I look at the whole thing. What do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right, especially when stuff like this comes out from so long ago. I mean, and from the reports I said, it wasn't even that he even did anything with her. She's basically saying that he asked her out and had basically contact with her as far as he talked to her. So I have no idea why, if this is something that really happened, why in the world you would wait 40 years or 30 years, whatever it is, to bring this nonsense out. I mean, to me, like you said, all the stuff that he's been doing that's positive, I have a pretty strong feeling this is all to try and smear his name and try to use all the stuff that's in the media right now about Hollywood and the pedophilia and the sexual assault to try to use this as their disposal to say, oh, well, look at what we're having in Hollywood. Look what we're having with Weinstein. Look what we have over here right now with Kevin Spacey. Well, he did it now, so it's not just the Hollywood actors. It's another prominent individual right here, and he can't get away with it. Like I said, I highly doubt. I mean, I don't even know how there's a way to even prove this. I mean, because the technology, video cameras, phone records, all that stuff, you're not even going to find anything from that back then. So, I mean, well, you're just going to have somebody's word 30, 40 years ago about that? I don't know, man. I don't buy it a lot. Also, too, in other news I definitely want to report on, it's not really a good thing to basically have to report on, but it's one thing that I had to touch base on here. We've talked about this a couple times as far as actually Dad is one of the ones that ended up breaking that information a while back ago as far as the all the holistic doctors that have checked out and died under mysterious circumstances. So far, as of last week, there were 76 doctors that were involved in holistic medicine that have died just since the middle of 2015. Well, now, sad to say, on Friday afternoon, Annie Fairbanks, age 39, she was a holistic doctor. She supposedly was killed. Her husband killed her, his 3-year-old daughter, and their 9-month-old son in their Arizona house, and then shot himself in the head, which I do not believe that story for a single second. I did the research on it, and literally within hours of one of her coworkers coming to the house to basically, they didn't know what was going on, they hadn't heard from anybody, they knocked on the door, they called the police ended up coming in the house, she was dead. Both the kids were dead, and he supposedly stuck a pistol in his mouth and shot himself. Within hours, before the end of the afternoon, Sergeant Ben Holster from Scottsdale Police Department out in Arizona claimed that Jason Fairbanks killed his wife, 2 children, and turned the gun on himself immediately without zero autopsy, without zero investigation, without zero conduct from any type of police work whatsoever. They immediately deemed it a full home suicide. I don't believe that for a second. Even the individuals now that have come out over the weekend that were friends with Annie and her family said there was absolutely no reason this could have happened. They did not understand why he would have done this, and they do not think he did it whatsoever. They apparently had a very good marriage. They apparently supposedly had some minor financial problems the last couple of years, but nothing as significant that they could see for him to kill his entire family. But as we talked about, guys, back in 2015 when Dad talked about the Hagman report, this has been going on now for the last 2 years. 77 now currently holistic doctors and practitioners have died now under very mysterious causes, all the way from suicides to heart attacks. And this next one, Annie Fairbanks, is no exception. This is a very, very strange situation that we need to look at and be praying for any of the related family. But this is something, Dad, that in my opinion, all this stuff cannot be coincidental. When you start dealing with this many individuals, a lot of whom were working on the GCMAF supposedly, as we talked about a year and a half ago, and I know you broke this story, but it's sad to see another one has basically been killed, and they're ruling it a suicide just within hours of the situation occurring.
Big Pharma can't have it. Big Pharma can't have pockets of practitioners that are actually getting results with their clinical testing, and they call it anecdotal results. They can't have that when they're actually starting to get traction from a global standpoint or from an international standpoint. They can't allow you to break their narrative. It's like the NFL. Most of the NFL players are now standing again for the national anthem. There are only a few who actually kneeled this weekend. The reason I bring this up is this. They finally got these guys back in line. Why? number one, they don't care about the ratings because they're really being subsidized by our tax dollars, even though the ratings actually show how many people are still continuing to be brainwashed. That's the only thing they care about, by the NFL and by the commercials that they show on the NFL. But what they care about is breaking the narrative. They don't want to lose the ability to control the masses of men in the United States through politicalized sports. That's what this is. Everybody gets to be part of a team with these guys, and they get to get control them and keep their testosterone in a checked manner by letting them sit around and eat chips all night and stay drunk watching TV and not getting out and protesting in some kind of a large protest. That's what they don't want. Oh, by the way, video proof now is that there were at least 7 different shooters during the Las Vegas massacre. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail. This was written on the Daily Sheep. Well, you guys can read through it. But now they're actually saying there's many, many more people. And this is what I said to you guys when we first talked about this the day after this happened. I said, I don't understand how one person with a bump stock firearm from, like, you know, 600-700 yards away was able to actually make contact and hit 500 people. I can't believe any of that's possible. He'd win a Congressional Medal of Honor if it was in a fight scene in a real military conflict for doing something like that, especially with a bump stock. I mean, you'd have to have multiple people and multiple shooters from multiple elevated positions to have that type of casualty count. So, again, more and more of the research is coming out saying that we were right again on the show. By the way, there were massive, massive protests in Poland about what was going on in Poland. And these, I mean, we're talking like tens of thousands of people protested in Poland for anti-immigration and protested for nationalism in Poland and keeping Poland Polish and not allowing massive hordes of immigrants to come into the country and destroy the very fabric of the country of Poland. I'm very pleased they did that. I'm really happy for them that they were able to go in and actually show that they were going to be unacceptable. Now, I had some people that I wrote a letter to this past weekend. I want to read this to you real quick. And it kind of came out kind of good the way it sounded, so I wanted to read it to you. And here's what I said about what was going on in Poland. It says, basically, it says, I agree with the Polish protesters, the nationalists. If immigration, this is a Ted Brewer quote, if immigration isn't monitored and controlled, the very fabric of the host country will be destroyed through immigration genocide. It creates a cultural war in the host country, which eventually destroys the indigenous population. Repeat that. I agree with the Polish protesters, the nationalists. The immigration isn't monitored. If immigration isn't monitored and controlled, the very fabric of the host country will be destroyed through immigration genocide. It creates a culture war in the host country, which eventually destroys the indigenous population. It's so important that people understand that. Guys, Poland's been getting criticized all over the world now because they have this protest against immigration. Quite frankly, I think they're 100% right, and it tells me right now that they're still awake over there and they don't want their country destroyed. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm glad to see them start doing stuff like that. I mean, it's definitely good to see. I mean, I wish, you know, Germany would start having some significant protest to block out all these massive migrants coming in there and subsidizing all of it. But as you see, it really depends on the population and how much tenacity they still have to try to prevent this stuff. Also, too, I thought this was pretty strange that this happened yesterday. We see all this stuff right now going on with Iran, we see the stuff going on with Saudi, the stuff going on with Israel, and the stuff going on as far as in Lebanon. Now, yesterday, Iran just had a massive 7.3 magnitude earthquake that left 414 people dead and 6,500 injured. On top of that, Iranians are saying it's unbelievably strange because it registered more than 100 aftershocks after the initial earthquake that was a 7.3 magnitude. The fact that there is a powder keg in the Middle East with Saudi spooling up right this, getting involved with Iran, getting involved with Lebanon, all this stuff going on right now, and now all of a sudden Iran just happens to have a 7.3 magnitude earthquake is not coincidence to me at all. To me, that sounds like a soft kill or a soft attack, meaning they use weather warfare like they've done numerous times. They started perfecting this back in Vietnam to soften up the enemy before they get ready to do something. And on top of that as well, the area that they actually had the earthquake at was right on the spot to where these guys supposedly had been developing nuclear warheads or were involved in some type of nuclear weaponry building. So I just thought that was pretty interesting to add to it, that after all this stuff started spooling up Friday and Saturday in the Middle East, Iran just happens to have a 7.3 earthquake right over there.
Well, we have wet earthquake weapons. I mean, period. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I can send you the patents for them. That's what we've got them. I mean, we use radio waves to do it. On Friday night on the Hagman Show, if you guys had a chance to listen to hour number 3, I went into detail on energy, physics, particle physics, and how we're all interconnected. And here's what I told my kids Saturday morning during our family meeting before prayer time. I said, here's how it all kind of works. If we're throwing out a 15-foot, 20-foot, 30-foot field of energy around our bodies through our heart being beating. I mean, it's a huge energy field, and we interconnect with other people in the energy field. Let's say, for instance, we all join hands in prayer and we have a group of people with us. If we all work together in that energy field, let's say if everybody's putting out 100% energy, the entire group becomes synergistic, and we can put out 100 times the number of people that are there as far as the ability of praying, the release of scalar waves. That's why the Bible says the fervent, effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much, and where two or three are there, you know, put 10,000 to flight. It's just we have the ability to actually amplify the prayer waves, the scalar waves that we pray, to cause all types of changes in the fabric of time space. But here's what happens. If you want to pray with somebody who doesn't have your beliefs or your thoughts or your views, or who's diametrically opposed to what you're praying, what ends up happening is their energy field is not going to be in synchronicity with your energy field through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work. And they drain your field down. Let's say, for instance, if you have somebody who is a zero in your field of energy, who doesn't like you, who doesn't want to be with you, and you try to pray with that person, your 100 plus his zero is only give you an effective range of 50 on the energy field, which is half of what it should be just for you by yourself. If you get a bunch of other people in that little prayer chain who don't want to listen, who don't want to do what they want to do, then you end up getting much less and less and less. This is what the Luciferians do when they have their human sacrifice and they have 13 people standing around the body that they're basically torturing. I hate to talk about stuff like this. They all are in sync in that energy field for Lucifer, and they pull tremendous power from the individual that they're doing this horrible stuff to. And as below, so below, as above, so below, and in the other unseen realm, apparently the same type of energy is being released to feed these entities. That's how they're able to do what they do when the witches get together and they pray against Trump and all that. But what they don't understand is this. If Christians would simply stay focused and in agreement with one another, and we are in covenant with God Almighty, in blood covenant with God Almighty, through Christ, through Jesus, through Yeshua, through the cross, through all of the things that we've talked about so many times on this show, then let's say we have an energy field of 100 and we tie to God in the 13th dimension through the Holy Spirit, and now we become in blood covenant with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Our energy fields then is our 100 plus one gazillion with God, because he completely holds the whole planet and the universe together. Through him, all things are held together, as the word says, through Christ. Now, all of a sudden, they have no authority over us, because God's energy field, his ability, his omnipresence is so powerful that these guys shudder and shake. The Bible says in the book of James that these guys believe in the demons and they actually shudder. He says that's because they believe in the angels and they shudder. These demons do. You guys know what I mean. And so what happens is they're scared of God. They're scared of Yeshua. They're scared of they're scared of the Almighty and the triune Godhead. They're scared of him. And see, this is a thing that we don't understand as Christians, and I talked about this in depth on Friday night. When we come together in prayer and we combine the energy fields that we have as Christians, it creates this tremendous ripple in time space. Remember, guys, on my show when we prayed with that hurricane was coming towards Florida, and we all prayed together in unison this thing be sent back out into the Atlantic, and that thing actually made an abrupt eastern turn almost immediately after the show. That's the kind of power we have when we pray together in unison. The problem with Christians, and I'm going to say it again, is one Christian prays for one other thing, somebody else prays for something completely opposite. Everybody's praying all of these different things, and it creates this tremendous conflict as far as what can and can't be done. That's why they're doing everything they possibly can to destroy Christianity, because what they don't want to do is have a cohesive group of believers that are telling the truth. Same thing like with these natural practitioners that are dying. They don't want to have a whole bunch of natural practitioners getting together on a national TV show or national talk show or buying airtime and start talking about the individual research and putting a ripple in their energy field of what they're trying to do to constantly try to lie to everybody as far as what the real research says. I mean, that's what people need to understand. And then we have clowns like this Carl Lentz, who basically is a Hillsong pastor with Justin Bieber, who said that abortion wouldn't say that abortion is sinful. Now, after getting completely slammed because he did that on national TV, he is coming in and saying that abortion is sinful. I mean, my goodness, are you kidding me? It took him being basically eviscerated publicly, nationally, internationally with his comments on that show to have him come out now and speak the truth of the Word of God. It sickens me that people like this claim to be pastors, that they're in the pulpit, and they're pushing this watered-down Christianity, which only causes more division in the body of Christ, more confusion in the body of Christ, and it doesn't allow us to function as a unit in the body of Christ to allow us to get things done. When the disciples got together after Jesus' death, and the Holy Spirit came into them in Jerusalem, and they were infused with the Holy Spirit, they were able to change the entire world. 12 of them did that with the Holy Spirit. And of course, Apostle Paul was added later on with the Road to Damascus experience. But guys, 12 of them were able to do all of this throughout history and through time space and change everything. We as the Christian church, if we could get together again and stop all this bickering and infighting and pray in unison for the same common beliefs, we would change everything, we'd get our country back, and we'd be able to get rid of these crazy nutbags that like to drink human blood and sacrifice them, Austin. Anyhow, that's enough of that. What's your next song, bud?
Well, I mean, a very similar topic of that now. The Church of England has issued new advice to all of their schools about transgender bullying for teachers. The instructions for the Church of England's 4,700 schools, first off, said they will not require children to wear uniforms that create difficulty for trans pupils. They also went on to say that male pupils should be free to dress in a tutu or high heels without attracting any comment or observation, according to the rules sent out by the church yesterday. Schools are also being told they cannot use the Christian faith or Bible teachings to justify behavior that is considered to amount to bullying. For example, identifying a transgender pupil by a sex other than the one that he or she has chosen. Conservative Christian activists condemned the new rules strongly yesterday. The new guidance came as a Christian teacher was suspended from a school in Oxfordshire after accidentally calling a transgender pupil girl instead of boy. Joshua Sutcliffe, age 27, Christian teacher in Oxfordshire, faces disciplinary hearing this week in which he could lose his job after the parents filed a formal complaint. The guidance adds that there can be no justification for negative behavior based on Christian faith or the Bible. It states that the Church of England's teaching on human sexuality and the range of Christian views should be taught, as well as a range of perspectives from other faiths and world views. I'm going to repeat that. This is how contradictory they are now over there. 4,700 school guys, 4,700 schools, the Church of England. They state, and I quote, the Church of England's teaching on human sexuality and a range of Christian views should be taught, as well as a range of perspectives from other faiths and viewpoints. The central to Christian theology is the truth that every single one of us is made in the image of God. Every one of us is loved unconditionally by God. And they're also going to say they're cutting the terms mother and father from admission forms to avoid offending step-parents and same-sex couples. So what they're doing now, they're completely twisting the Word of God and saying that because God loves all of us unconditionally, that we have to completely accept transgender behavior in our children. We cannot say that it's wrong. We cannot tell them it's sinful. We cannot look at them and say that's bizarre behavior. We cannot say go change clothes because you're a boy and boys don't wear high heels and tutus. All that now is forbidden with the Church of England and their 4,700 schools. This baffled my mind today when I saw this article. But But this is where it's headed, Dad, and this is exactly what you just said here. They've completely tried to do the best they can, and now they're actually doing so to completely break down Christianity and the biblical faiths and beliefs we have, to distort, twist, and pervert them into their way of thinking, so that really Christianity is not going to be anything different than any other religion. You pretty much can do whatever you want, act however you want, go wherever you want, be whoever you want to be, whether it's a girl or a boy the next day, and everything's okay with it because God loves us unconditionally.
Well, Henry VIII started the Church of England back, I think it was around 1534. I can't remember the exact date. And he decided he was going to make himself the supreme head of the Church of England, basically boot the Catholic Church out. And you remember when we were over there a few years ago with Dalton, and we went up to, I forgot that little town up in the northern part where they had burned that big church down. That's the big Catholic church that had been burned 400 or 500 years ago by Henry VIII. So they burned a lot of the Catholic churches and monasteries in England. And he was all hacked off because he wanted to divorce his wife, and the Catholic church told him no. And then he had divorced and killing a bunch of them. It was crazy. This is the guy who started the Church of England. So the whole thing is based in hypocrisies and lies to start with. And so this doesn't surprise me whatsoever that this guy thinks it's okay to do these crazy things to these people. I mean, the whole thing about it, this is awesome. When you really stop and you look at it, you've got to realize that the church now, today, is being used by the world to program Christians into not understanding or believing the truth in many, many situations. I mean, this is the church. This is the parochial schools. This is the public schools. They're using this organization that was built, you know, thousands of years ago, for their own interest in many cases, including this clown from Hillsong. Now, children are also being educated in the school to obey the government's vaccination agenda. This is nuts. Children around the world are being taught in school from an early age to believe the vaccines are safe and an effective part of their education. Not only is there evidence to support this fact, but there's also evidence that many children are being regularly brainwashed to believe that if they do not receive their vaccinations, they could get ill and they could die from vaccine-preventable diseases, and they're being taught to turn their parents in if the parents speak badly about vaccinations and why these children shouldn't be vaccinated. Guys, this whole thing is about changing the DNA of human beings through epigenetics to the 14th generation. They're changing our children through the DNA that they put into these vaccines. Austin and I talked about this length yesterday, about they're using these fetal human cells from aborted fetuses in these vaccinations, and that these many of these abortions are actually human sacrifice ceremonies. We've talked about that in length. We've talked about it in detail before. We've actually read some of the stuff they do, which I don't want to talk about again. All of this stuff they're doing is to change our DNA. They know they can do that through incorporating viruses into our cellular structure. You have two different phases of a viral infection. You have what's called the lytic, and you have what's called the lysogenizing phase. The lysogenizing phase, the virus comes into your cell structure and remains dormant and doesn't mass produce. I learned this in, I'm not sure if it was biochemistry or if it was it was one of those crazy classes I took at Florida State. And then you have the lytic phase of that virus, and for some reason they can trigger certain viruses, or certain viruses have triggers, and they're in, after they've been in that lysogenizing state and they've stayed in there for years and years and haven't done anything, they can suddenly be triggered and start taking over the cells, taking over the structures, rewriting DNA, and all of this. If they have a way to put a lysogenizing virus into a child through immunizations, and they can hit them with a different frequency later on in life, they can actually turn that lysogenizing virus that's been incorporated into the cellular DNA into a lytic type of virus, which can start doing massive replication immediately and physically change that human being. Now you think, well, they wouldn't do that. Okay, whatever. These guys are that sick. This is what they want. Remember, the fallen angels, when they came on this planet, they ended up changing human DNA. It says it in the Word. It says it in the Book of Enoch, which also is maybe not be an apocryphal text, but it was an apocryphal text in the Ethiopian Bible, and it was taken out by the Roman Catholic Church in the 4th century. We have to understand something, guys. They're not going to stop with this agenda until they do what they've done before. Somehow they think we're a big petri dish down here, and they like to do things to us. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, there's no question about it. It's pretty crazy stuff. Even though this is an article coming out of Oklahoma now, Newark, Oklahoma. This is pretty strange as well, as I'm definitely going to look into this a little bit more. The Department of Homeland Security has now released that they're going to release inert chemicals to test the protection offered by buildings in Newark, Oklahoma. Of all places, Newark, Oklahoma. They said a legal notice appeared in the local newspaper saying the Department of Homeland Security would release non-hazardous, non-toxic chemicals and biologic materials at the beginning of 2018. They want to see what would happen if a terrorist were to release similar chemicals as a biological weapon, and if the buildings in Newark, Oklahoma would offer residents any kind of protection. The residents are saying the announcement significantly worries them. For the particular test, the government plans to release titanium dioxide, which describes a white odorless powder that's chemically insoluble in water, non-reactive, non-flammable, non-hazardous. For the biological test, the government plans to release genetic barcoded spores of an insecticide sold under the trade name of Dipel. Dipel is not considered hazardous by the EPA. Well, that fixes it all then. If the EPA approves it, then we know it's got to be safe. It's not considered hazardous by the EPA when handled appropriately, and these will be released at a given time in 2018 to see the structural strength of these buildings on how they can handle biologicals. I don't understand what this is all about. That this seems very odd to me, almost like a false flag in the making. What in the world is over in Oklahoma that they need to start testing inert biologicals on the population to see how it can handle it? This makes no sense to me at all, especially in that area.
No, not at all whatsoever. I mean, I don't know why they would do crazy stuff like that. By the way, you know, every time I think that it can't get any worse for these professors up in New York, it gets worse. Professors are now saying it's not okay to be white. And this is crazy. Can my children be friends with white people? This is a bizarre question as the basis of a New York Times op published Sunday, and the authors answered with a no, albeit with some exceptions. I mean, this is crazy. History has provided, this is quote, history has provided little reason for the people of color to trust white people in this way of genuine friendship, and these recent months have put in the starkest relief the contempt with which the country measures the value of racial minorities. This is Ikao Yanka, a law professor at Yeshiva University. According to Yanka, examples of white contempt for racial minorities in recent months include concerns over the opioid epidemic, worries over the rising unemployment about working class whites, and criticism of NFL players kneeling for the national anthem. Apparently, those issues receive far more attention than the woes of African Americans, thus revealing the secret disdain whites have for non-whites. With that conclusion assumed, Yanka declares a lesson he will teach his children. As against our gauzy national hopes, I will teach my boys to have profound doubts that friendship with white people is possible, this law professor argues. Spare me the platitudes, however, we're all the same on the inside. I have to keep my boys safe, and so I will teach them before the world shows them this particular brand of renting, violent, awful, fatal betrayal. Now, I'm going to make a comment on this. Number one, I really dislike this guy. I don't even know this guy, and I don't like him, okay? He's the kind of guy who just kind of brightens up a room by leaving it, who basically needs to be slapped upside the head to get a reality check. Here's the deal, guys. This guy is a hardcore racist. Hardcore. He's a hardcore racist who sees no redeeming value in another race. He's basically, in my opinion, a genocidalist. And I can't stand people like this. And I have spoken about this over and over and over again to you guys. If I was Jewish, I'd be proud I'd be Jewish. I'd be a Messianic Jew, but I'd be proud I was Jewish. If I'm German, which I am, I'm proud I'm German. If I'm white, I'm proud I'm white. If I'm black, I'm proud I'm black. I'm not telling anybody that whites are better than anybody else because I don't believe that. Okay? I have different opinions than a lot of different groups have, and that may be bigoted toward their views. If a pedophile wants to rape little boys, I'm a bigot towards that pedophile, his whacked out beliefs. I am that. But I am not a racist, and I never have been. I believe that all of us are created in God's image, and all of us need to get along with each other. But when you get nutbag professors like this who are running around saying stuff like this about white people, just straight, hardcore racist, these are the kind of people that Barack Obama enlisted into his administration to do everything he could from a communist standpoint, which is what they did in the Russian Revolution, to cause massive division among sects of people. This is not okay. This type of rhetoric is so hardcore and it's so unbelievably nauseating to me that this type of person should never, ever receive any type of accolade. They shouldn't be published, especially in a major newspaper, and they certainly shouldn't be allowed to maintain a position as an attorney. If a person who is a white attorney came in and said that any type of relationship with a person of color is going to be bad and horrible, they would immediately be suspended or expelled or fired or tarred and feathered or run out of the state, Austin. I cannot believe that these guys, because of Obama, because of what he's done to destroy racial unity in the United States, that these people are allowed to say the things and get the national coverage that they do. This is complete and total socialist engineering. This is complete and total communism dictate of trying to separate the groups of people in the United States to cause a race war and another civil war in the United States. What do you think?
You summed it up. That's about exactly the way I would have put it. That's exactly what they've been trying to do. That's why articles like this, that's why professors like this, that's why blithering idiots who have never had any type of platform ever are getting all this publicity in the mainstream media. They're blatantly going in and trying to find individuals that are spewing out this racial hatred, and they're giving them a platform to stand on and screen this obnoxious stuff from because they're trying to incite it. I went into detail, I think, last week on the main issue that we saw with the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin shooting down here in Florida. That was a horrible, horrible incident, but the mainstream media and the current president, which thank goodness he's gone, they made sure they did every single thing possible to make it a racial situation from the very single beginning report. This is not new. This is not abnormal. They are trying to do it. As Dad just said, they want to try to create as much confusion and chaos and hatred throughout all the United States to make sure that we are not unified as Christian patriots that come together when the situation starts to happen or something starts to crumble and we go, it doesn't matter. I don't care what race you are. I don't care about your background on this. If you want to be a strong Christian patriot and you want to fight this and you want to support this and you want to do the best you can possibly can for this country, let's do it. They don't want us to have that unity. That unity just by itself is almost physically impossible to defeat, because not only do you have the backing of God Almighty with the spiritual support behind you, you have the strength in numbers and the like-minded strength that Dad was just talking about earlier, as when we pray the same thing, when we believe the same thing, we can literally make any of this stuff happen. They don't want any of us to have that, so the easiest thing to do is simply split us up by race. Even if that other person may have the same Christian views, the same constitutional views, the same background as you, they want you to hate each other simply based on the color of our skin. And if we've learned anything, guys, that's really one of the dumbest, most uneducated things you can do, is start going after somebody simply because of their color. So for this person to come out and say, oh, it's you, it's possible you can be friends with somebody that's white. I mean, are you kidding me right now? If they put something else, it's okay, you can be friends with somebody that's black, dude, they'd probably get arrested for something, or they'd end up getting shot. I mean, there's no telling, but it's absolutely ridiculous. And other news, too, that I wanted to touch base on, because this is really big. A lot of people have no idea what this is going to turn into. As I called it out years ago with Agenda 2030 with the UN, this is exactly the plans that they've been planning on doing. Bill Gates just spent over $80 million on the development of a brand new community in the far West Valley. The large plot of land is 45 minutes west of downtown Phoenix off I-10. The proposed community, made up of close to 25,000 acres of land, is called Belmont. The goal is to turn the land into its own self-sustained smart city. They're completely embracing cutting-edge technology designed around high-speed digital networks, smart instruments, data centers, new manufacturing technologies, distribution models, fully autonomous vehicles, and autonomous logistic hubs, Belmont Partners said in the news release. They're planning to start this up by next year. If you look at the plot from 2030, the Agenda 2030 from the UN, their overall goal is to have large pockets of smart cities where they're going to have huge population. Look at it. This right is 25,000 acres where, I mean, they're going to have everything from offices, commercial, retail, public schools, and 80 80,000 residential apartments at the minimum startup. 80,000. They're putting 80,000 residential apartments to start with over a 25,000 acre span on top of having every single other thing there, including 3,800 acres are going simply towards office and commercial centers and other areas for public schools. They're also going to be doing massive retail centers as well. This is the overall goal. Those cities are literally going to be a tyrannical dream. They will be exactly like George Orwell predicted. They will have cameras on every corner. The smart systems will track everything you do. There will be 5G networks across the entire city. You will not have to travel whatsoever. It will be fully sustained as far as with housing, schooling, food, restaurants, dining, going out, nightlife, everything is going to be self-sustained, and it's going to be the glamorous new smart cities that is going to be the cool thing to do that all the yuppies and hipsters and whatever you want to call them now are going to absolutely flock to, because it's going to be the cool place to live. This will be more than likely one of the first test runs for a major new built smart city that will lead the pack in numerous other smart cities coming up or turning into these type of areas that they will completely control and monitor every single aspect of your life, Dad. But this is the beginning, and of course, Bill Gates is at the top of it, which does not surprise me at all.
Bill Gates, and I'm going to say it again, all of these top guys have all been linked at the hip with the Rothschild central banks. There's no way they're worth tens of billions of dollars unless they've been involved with these guys. It's impossible. Somebody had to finance their expansion. Somebody had to finance their work. Somebody had to do all of this stuff for them. And then that's the problem when you get to this level. It's like we have a friend of ours who's in the radio, in the singing business. And I'm not going to mention his name because he may be listening to the show and I don't want to get him on the spot. But he told us, you know, you can make $10, $20 million a year as a singer if you're really, really good at what you do. But if you start wanting to make 40, 50, 60, 80, 100 million a year, they got to give you the nod. They got to tell you that it's okay, and they got to be able to bring you up to that level, and then they're going to want to control you. I've got another pastor friend of mine. He's got a daughter who's very, very talented, extremely good singer, very pretty. She's like 13, 14 years old, and he's got a national TV show, and Hollywood is already calling on his daughter, and I have warned him not to allow that to happen simply because once they get that foothold to him as far as controlling his daughter, they will control him. I've seen it over and over and over again with Christian ministries. 13 Baltimore City high schools now have zero students who are proficient in math. I'm going to repeat that. This is the latest findings now. 13 Baltimore City high schools, 13, thousands and thousands and thousands of students have zero students that are proficient in math. Zero. I mean, that means they couldn't pass a test in math. Zero. Not one kid can pass any of these tests in math. 0%. You know, I'm going to say something for just a second. And this is so important that we understand this. This has to go back to the parents. This has to go back to the people that are working with these kids. Guys, a lot of these kids get involved in gangs up in Baltimore. It's a very, very bad area to be from as far as in the inner city. A lot of them get involved in gangs, and they stop losing the ability to think through the situation that they're in because they're trying to either stay alive in the gang, trying not to get killed by a gang, and trying just to survive getting through school, that they turn into thugs. Now, this is something that's happening all over the United States. It's not just Baltimore. It's the continual dumbing down of our society by the social welfare system and by the National Education Association, the Common Core, and everything else they're doing. All of this stuff is awful. Another guy has just criticized homeschoolers and said that homeschoolers are a form of child abuse, and that many of the homeschoolers don't get the right type of education from their parents because they don't learn enough skill sets to do what they need to do. Newsflash, have you looked at Baltimore? How in the world can you say homeschooling is bad? If a person has a homeschool set of parents who care about that person, and they use a good program, a self-guided program like a BECA or a plethora of other programs that are extremely good, these children will have such a huge step up when they go to college if they've been homeschooled with the proper curriculum. It will be as if they are superhumans. Menchie called it a Übermensch, a person who is a superman to be able to walk into the classroom and actually speak English, actually be proficient in math, and actually be able to construct a sentence and or a paragraph or to write a paper in college. They'll be an Ubermensch, a superman, a superhuman if they're homeschooled or if they're put into a really good parochial school that doesn't compromise as far as its moral standards and give in to political correctness. Guys, it's so important that you do everything you possibly can for your children on an ongoing basis to make sure that when they come out of school, they can read. Oh, my gosh, there's a new concept. That they can do math. They can actually pass a college entrance exam. They can be involved in – no, I'm not even being facetious anymore. I mean, but it's because nowadays, these are major, major problems that people don't get. Here's another article. This is from Sajar Jai. Good article. It says, why there is no such thing as safe tap water. I get this constantly, okay? They want to drink well water. They want to drink tap water. They want to drink farm water. They live out in the middle of nowhere. They want to drink the water. Water everywhere has been shown now, with rare exception, be contaminated with lead, with dichloro, diphenyl, trichloroethene, DDT, sodium fluoride, arsenic, radionuclides, xenobiotics, all kinds of foods, pesticides, lead, fluoride, all of this stuff. I'm telling you guys, you can't drink tap water or well water unless you get it tested. And any tap water produced by any municipality, including those that don't even use hydrofluorosilicic acid, needs to be tested for chemical pesticides, and you need to get the chlorine out of it. You need to also realize that this stuff is toxic and it shouldn't be used. That's why we use a distillation system that we have available on healthmasters.com. I have been using it for over 34 years. It has saved me a fortune not having to buy bottled water, and it is incredibly convenient. So, guys, please, don't believe the lie that you can drill a well in the middle of Iowa, okay? They pour the pesticides to the crops like you wouldn't believe, and everything else, dicamba and everything else, and not have it get into the aquifer, and you're not drinking it, guys. It's so important that you clean your water up before you put it in your body. My old thing always is this, Austin, either use a filter or be a filter. What do you think?
Yep. No, you're 100% correct about that. And that's one of the aspects that people, I think a lot of people kind of, they don't really look at from a real world perspective. Is you just kind of think, oh, I need water, I'm thirsty, you know, and you talk to people that don't know any better and they don't think anything of it. But you think about it, our bodies are made up almost 65-70% water. They have to have constant fluids. You have to have water in your system all the time. That's one of the only things you can't deprive yourself of and stay alive for any length of time. But yet people are so concerned about getting this or buying the newest TV or having the newest tennis shoes, yet they won't even turn around and spend a couple hundred dollars on a good water filtration distillation system like we have at Health Masters. And I'm not trying to sell this to make you guys buy anything. You can get one wherever you want. We sell some of the best ones in the country, and they're great. We sell them all the time. We use them here in the office. But it's so funny to me when you bring that up to a lot of people about purified water. They're like, oh, no, tap water's tap water. It's fine. And I'm like, oh, have you ever seen the water reports from your local city? Have you seen actually what's in your water? Have you ever done independent lab testing to see what's in them? You start doing some research and see what's in them, especially if you ever use one of the water distillers like we have, and it runs through one cycle on the boiler, and you actually see all the crud and contaminants that are left behind, especially from well water. That's a lot of times that people make the mistake thinking is that well water is clean because it's out of a well. A lot of times the levels of calcium that are in well water are astronomical. You see it right here in Florida when we distill our water and you have to clean out the boiler. You literally have chunks of calcium buildup and other types of contaminants that are in the bottom of this thing. They get so hard after a couple waters. Cycles, you actually have to go in and chip part of it out and use the CleanWise cleaner that we have to try to basically help dissolve it when you clean it out. And the thing is, people don't realize, if you weren't distilling that water, you're putting that garbage right into your system and your body's having to flush it out through your kidneys, it's going into your arteries, all this stuff. So yes, I'm glad you brought that up there, because it's definitely a big issue of having clean, purified water. It's not something I ever compromised on whatsoever.
Nope. Oh, by the way, we've had a troop build up in Afghanistan now to protect the poppy fields because the Taliban were leaving their jobs in Syria through our CIA and burning poppy fields last few years, and we've had enough of it, so we increased the troop strength. So I've got good news for all the listeners, and I'm being facetious, but here are the numbers. Last year, poppies were cultivated in 201,000 hectares, yielding 47 600 tons of opium, which is up 46% from 2015. And then we sent our troops in to protect the fields. And now we are increasing that amount of opium that we produced last year from 4,700 tons to 10,000 tons produced this year. Now, you just heard me right. We have doubled opium production with the increase of our soldiers in Afghanistan. Doubled it. And I am the only person on radio, me and Austin, and on Hagman's show and on Hodge's show, that has called this out. We are the only ones out there talking about this. Afghan opium production reaches record high of 10,000 tons under the protection of the U.S. military. Afghan, the world's largest opium producer, has harvested a record crop this year, more than doubled its last year's production. This is absolutely insanity, guys. You can read on this on the VOA. Afghan opium production reaches record high. Congratulations. Our U.S. troops are being put into harm's way so we can continue to allow the CIA to run their drugs and to enslave the entire population of the planet now, so it seems, to opiates. Ugh, that makes me angry, guys. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Wow. Quick show today. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Man, our cookbook sales have gone through the roof already. Eat Clean and Be Healthy, available right now, $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Thank you so much for supporting us and getting the cookbook. Great lifestyle program. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Hey, guys, I love you. Thanks for listening. I'll do the write-up, Austin. Go ahead and close.
Awesome. Yes, absolutely, bud. We appreciate it. So be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. You can also check out the product of the week, which is a monster seller, as always, the Ultimate Multiple Capsules. That's on sale for over 10% off on the website right now for product of the week. And also be sure to check out the other products that are on sale for product of the week. The COQ10 looks like it's winning right now, but another couple ones are right behind it. So be sure to go on the website and vote for the products you want so you can have your voice heard. That's why I set this up a while back ago. I wanted everybody to have the ability to be able to let us know on the website what products you want to go on sale. And in turn, we listen and we put them on sale. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. Email us if you guys need anything. You can go in the contact bar at the top and type in the word contact in the search bar at the top and send us an email if you can't find it on the website. Or you can simply just call us at 1-800-726-1834. We appreciate your support. Thank you guys for being our Health Masters family. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, as always.